You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Getting Rid of Hindrances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
So Paul says in Galatians 5 and 7, just before I move on, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who? So as I start off tonight, I want to let you know that hindrances can be whose. Not a what, it's a who. Who did hinder you? Somebody you are around. Someone you're listening to. Someone you have in the car with you shouldn't be there. You'll ever try to go somewhere and you got somebody in the car who just can't they can't hold their mule. How am I trying to say this here? They got to go to the bathroom all the time. You ever try to take a trip? I mean, you're like, listen, we should be there in 3 hours. You're half hour into it. Is that bathroom around here? Bathroom? We got to go. Pastor Marshall and I, we've been on the road, and she said, is that bathroom? I said, we're bathroom. Look at the rest up about 15 miles. 15, I got to go now. Like right now? And sometimes you got people with you for whatever reason, they're hindering you. Amen. They're hindering you. Okay, look at Genesis 13. We all know Genesis 12. God speaks to Abraham, reveals himself to him, and tells him, walk before me, I'm going to bless you. You know, leave your mother, your father, your kindred. I'm going to bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. Leave the land where you're going and go to Canaan. And the Bible says, so Abraham went, and who went with him? Lot went with him. Okay? A lot of us got Lot with us. We got a lot with us. Got a lot. Got a lot of issues, a lot of drama, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of unbelief, a lot of gossip, a lot of lying. Look at your neighbor and say, get rid of your lot. Lot went with them. And let's pick up here in Genesis 13, starting at verse 7. It says, because he took Lot with him. Now, he told him to take his family, which meant his immediate family, which were his wife and, you know, his workers. Okay. But he takes his nephew with him, Lot. And just pick up here, Genesis 13 and verse 7. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell then in the land. The Lord showed me this when I was teaching this at the noon session today. I always have taught this, that there was strife between Abraham and Lot. That's not what the Bible says, does it? It says there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. What the Lord showed me here, sometimes it's not that me and you got an issue. It's the people you with, they got the issue with me. And since you so loyal to them, we got the part. It's not the strife between us. It's the folks you hanging with who's causing the strife. And sometimes you got to make a decision of loyalty of who's the most important person to you. And obviously, Abraham saw, and man, I know you ain't going to let go your herdmen here. Okay, so I tell you what, all y'all need to go. So he says, Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between your herdmen and thy herdmen, because the strife wasn't with them, it was with the herdmen. He said, for we're brethren. He said, we cool. But the folks you were with who are causing the division. I know it's hard for some people to get this, but I have discovered that when I'm loyal to somebody and that relationship is important to me, people who aren't loyal to them, sometimes there got to be some separation or some proximity put between us. Because I recognize this is something that God's setting up that they could be trying to mess up. And sometimes the reason why they're trying to mess up is because they don't have a relationship with that person that you do. And they're jealous. And because of their jealousy, they're trying to pull you away from a connection that God has to sponsor you to your next level. From a God connection. From the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. God gave me this definition many years of the blessing. The blessing is the wealth producing, sorrow reducing power of God on your life. The wealth producing, sorrow reducing power of God on your life. What's the blessing? The wealth producing, sorrow reducing power of God on your life. What's the blessing? The wealth producing, sorrow reducing power of God on your life. Well, where you get that from? That's the definition according to the word. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And no sorrow is with it. It maketh rich and it gets rid of sorrow. So the blessing is the wealth producing, sorrow reducing power of God in your life. And when there's some people who will see the blessing of God on your life and be mad because you're blessed. Look at somebody around you and say, don't hate me because I'm blessed. And the thing about hating on somebody because they're blessed is that who you really mad with is God. Yeah, see, you don't look at that. See, if you're mad with me because I'm blessed, you're really not mad with me. You're mad with God because I didn't bless myself. God blessed me. And the scripture says that he talked about his sovereignty in blessing people. He said, I'll bless who I want to bless. So you got a problem with me being blessed? Go tell God. I don't like everybody being blessed. And see how that worked for you. Maybe he'll change his mind about blessing me because you don't like it. I really don't think he cares. Since he didn't ask you your permission to bless me, then he doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to him that you are in approval of it. Amen. And so you have to understand. I'm serious here. You really got to understand that. I'm telling y'all, I didn't always see that. And some people even warned me because, you know, I wasn't seeing it like that. Y'all know I just do what I do. I'm doing, you know, I would be doing what I was doing, whether I was consecrated a bishop or not. Amen. And so, but somebody said, listen, when you become a bishop, just as you being consecrated and being called bishop and having certain, you're going to draw celebrators and you're going to draw haters. You're going to find out who your friends are and you're going to see folks who are jealous of you. And I can tell you, I've seen that already. And then all the more when certain folks see those who do favor you. When certain people see people who do like you, now they don't like you even more. Are y'all listening to me? And you can't be so naive about these things, because these people will be in your life and the devil will be using them to hinder you. Every time you're supposed to be somewhere, they're trying to get you to go somewhere else. Every time you're supposed to be somewhere, they're delaying you with a phone call. They already know what's on your schedule that night. They know where you're supposed to be going. But the devil is using them either consciously or unconsciously to hinder you and to keep you from making progress and being at the place that God wants you to be and keeping you connected with the people God needs you to be connected with. I'm telling y'all, here's a place of maturity. Don't let everybody's issue become your issue. I don't care if everybody in this church fell out with Marsha Bailey. That don't mean I'm supposed to divorce her because you don't like her. Oh, y'all don't catch that. We were here before you got here, and we're going to be here after you leave. Amen. And so, we always take that thing about whom God had joined together, that no man put asunder. Yet that is a principle of marriage, but it's not just about marriage. It's about anybody whom God has put together. Don't you let anybody come between you and somebody that God put you together with. And let me tell you, South Carolina folks, something. Here you go with South Carolina again. This whole thing of you doing stuff and falling out with people and all this kind of stuff, and then we're going to see each other 5 years later and you haven't nothing happened. How are you? How your mama and them? Wait, hold up. You stabbed me in the back several years ago, and I still got partial paralysis. And you want to act like nothing happened, and we want to do small talk? No, that's where we got to start. I know y'all ain't used to that. Y'all just want to sweep everything under, and that's why you get stabbed in the back again. Because you acting so naive with these devils. You need to recognize folks for who they are. And when folks show you that they're crazy, believe them. When folks show you that they mean, believe them. When folks show you they have no control over their tongue, believe them. I walk right. I mean, this is what I always say this. If a dog bites me, okay, I might have to go down that street again. I might have to go around that house again. But I'm cautious about that dog. So now I walk broadly around that dog. I have a stick ready for that dog. Gus, come for me now. I got something for you. I ain't just going to volunteer, just walk up to this dog again and pet him and just assume that he done had counseling. Last time I saw this dog, you was a mean, vicious dog. I don't know that you changed. Oh, come on. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, on the other hand, I have had people do things, act all kind of crazy ways, and then come back to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what was wrong with me. But I was so off, I was so wrong, and the Lord showed me that I was just being mean. And I just don't know, Pastor, I don't know what I was thinking, but the Lord showed me I was wrong, and I asked you to forgive me. Now I know there's been change, but still I look for fruit of repentance. Okay, now I know there's a heart, now I got to see you walk this thing out. You understand? So now I may not carry the gun on me, but I got it close. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't know who that was for. Let there be no strife. So first thing I want to tell you, in the couple minutes I have remaining, make a decision on your way to destiny to stay away from strifeful people. Strife, I consider strife with people. People always got drama, always got issues with somebody. Do y'all realize, some of y'all got to understand this. These people who always have an issue with somebody, they always got an issue with somebody. You didn't catch that. These people always have an issue with somebody. They always got an issue with somebody. So it's not that everybody is always doing something wrong. It's that they are strifeful people. Some people, if they are not in strife, they are in nothing. Some people, if they are not in your business or in somebody else's business, they have no business. Now, on the other hand, I want you to understand this. Any people who are real people of destiny, people of purpose, we got enough of our own business. Come on, wave my hand. Wave your hand if you got enough of your own business. People of destiny and people of purpose, we got enough of our own business. We got enough of our own prayers, things on our own faith plate. We got enough stuff we believe in for with our own family. We got enough we're trying to manage with our own money. We're trying to keep our own credit together. We're trying to keep our own marriage together. We're praying about our own children. And so some of this stuff that you think we thinking about, we ain't thinking about, because we ain't got time to be thinking about your stuff. We handling our stuff. And that is another deception of the devil. They always have you thinking somebody thinking about you. Most people are if they're thinking about you, they probably don't have much to think about. We hear that in the church all the time. Well, I don't want nobody thinking. People probably thinking. People probably looking. I don't mean no harm, y'all. You're really not as important as you think you are. We're trying to pay our own bills, keep our own marriage together. And can I say, the more mature you get, you know, I was talking to a man this afternoon. He's doing some work at my house. And he said he's saved, but he was being very as far as I was saying, I didn't have time. I wasn't there to be his spiritual counselor or be his pastor. Just like talk what you're going to do, how much it's going to cost us going back to business. I don't have time to correct your theology and all that. But he said, you know, these people will have addictions. And they say, I just want to see. Well, you don't put a gun to your head and say, I just want to see. And he was being very judgmental about anybody who does anything. You know, people who steal, I don't understand what will make a man steal. Okay? And, you know, he said, being very judgmental. I'm like, dude, you done something. You know what I'm saying? You talking about you talking about the man who done stole. You probably an adulterer. I didn't say that. You know, but I'm saying, you done something. And you're being so judgmental about everybody else. The Bible says, you who are spiritual, he said, if a brother be overcome with a fault, you who are spiritual, go to him and restore him in a spirit of meekness. Then he says this, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You may not have had that sin, but you done had some sin. You don't have to be delivered from that, but you got to be delivered from something, because everybody needs the blood. That's you too in your self-righteous self. Everybody needs the blood. And if we would just focus on our area of blood need, oh man, we won't have time to be pointing out things to everybody else. I didn't do that, but praise God, he delivered me out of that. Man. So stay away from strife with people. So Abraham said, Genesis 13:9, the whole land is before thee. Now, I preached this before, so some of this is a reminder, a refresher. Because, Lord, I think I started preaching about this when I was teaching on the tapping into the money flow. Abraham said, I don't have to be in strife with you because I got the whole land before me. What were they in strife about? Land. Abraham said, I got the blessing on my life. If I got the blessing on my life, there's going to be some more land. He said, I got the whole land before me. You fighting over this and God trying to give me the whole land. And people who are in strife usually are in fear of you getting more than them. People in strife, they're in fear that if you're blessed, they're going to be cursed. They're in fear that if you get, they're going to lose. That if you become one of the have, they automatically won't become one of the have not. That is lack mentality, and that is shortest mentality. People of faith and people with abundance mentality never think shortage. Everybody said it's more than enough for everybody to be blessed, and I'm still going to be blessed. What's one of the names of God? El Shaddai. El Shaddai. It literally means the many-breasted one. It's the picture of a mother who has enough breasts to satisfy all of her children. God said, I'm the many. He said, I can feed that child and you won't go lacking. I can take care of them and there's still enough to take care of you. If you could get just an abundance mentality, get rid of lack mentality, you don't have to be in strife. I told y'all years ago, I mean, man, that's so many cars ago now. But I think about, at the time, a couple years after the church, we had this old car, and then the Perry sign for us to get, and that time the vehicle was in the church's name, and the Perry, I didn't have the credit, okay, and the Perry sign for me to get this Chevy Suburban. Now nobody know all the details about it, but his brother said. Brother came to me and said, there's some people in the church and we've been talking and we have a problem with you getting this Suburban. He said, because we're struggling to tithe and you get a Suburban. And I said to him, I remember saying to him, I said, well, first of all, if you're struggling to tithe, obviously I ain't dependent on your tithe for this Suburban. Because if you're struggling, you may tithe and you may not. So obviously I ain't dependent on your tithe regarding this Suburban. And then he said, then he started laughing. He tried to make, after I started confronting him, he said, you got the vehicle I want. That's the issue. See, that was the issue. The issue was, I got something that he wanted. And then I'll never forget what I told him. I said, you know what? I said, it's not custom. It wasn't personally ordered. I bought off the rack. It was a whole bunch of them. Looked just like this one. They got some more just like it. It's not a, I don't have any special deal with Mr. General Motors, with Mr. Chevy, or GMC, whatever it was, and say, listen, I want to order this. I don't know what it was, a 1999, 2000. I said, there's more of them. Look to your neighbor and say, there's more of them. See, if you understand there's more, you don't get in strife with people. Everybody say, there's more, there's more, there's more. Glory to God. So Abraham said, we don't have to be in strife over this land. He said, whatever land you take, I'm not even going to sweat you about it. Because whatever you take, God got more for me. Hallelujah. When you got the blessing of God on your life, God's always got more for you. But the strife will be a blessing blocker. So he says, the whole land before, he said, I tell you what, I ain't even going to have any beef with you. If you think that land's the best, whatever land you think is the best, go ahead and take it. God's still going to give me better. He said, if you take the left, I'll go right. You go north, I'll go south. You go northeast, I'll go southwest. He said, I don't care. I just need to get rid of the strife. Strife is a blessing blocker. Strife will hinder you from walking in the promises of God. Strife will hinder you from having manifestation. And you got to make up your mind, I don't have time for strife. Everybody say, I have time. I don't have time for strife. Look at this. Psalm 106, verse 32. It talks about Moses and how these children of Israel got on his nerves, caused him to get in strife, and caused him not to go into the promised land. It's mentioned at least three places in scripture, but Psalm 106:32 sums it up. It says, they angered him, him is a reference to Moses, also at the waters of what? The waters of strife. Another place is called the waters of Zin. It refers to strife. At the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. When it says for their sakes, other translation says because of them. He got in strife because of them, and he didn't go into the promised land. God tells him, come on up, look on over. I'm going to let you see it with your eyes, but you won't walk in it. Because he let these folks cause him to act outside the character of God, not glorify God. And the final thing was God told him to speak to the rock, and he was so mad at the people, he hit the rock. Water came out the rock. He said, but now you got them focused on your, oh, this is so good. You got them focused on more on your anger than on my love. I never saw that before. God said, I wanted to be glorified in this situation. But they're not talking about how I love them so much that I gave them water. They told me how mad you were that you hit the rock and water came out. You made this about you and I wanted it to be about me. In order for God to get glory, it got to be about him, not about us. Not about our feeling, but not about our desire. It got to be about him. Everybody say it's all about him. So make a decision to stay out of strife. Proverbs 17:14, couple more and I'm done here, says the beginning of strife is as when water first trickles from a crack in a dam. This is the amplified version. It says the beginning of strife is just like when water first trickles from a crack in a dam. Therefore, stop contention before it becomes worse and quarreling breaks out. Let me give you the Bailey translation. If you don't start no mess, it won't be none. Look at your neighbor and say, I know that's right. I know that's right.
Hindrances can come in many different forms. Sometimes you may not even recognize them. Bishop Herbert Bailey helps you to identify and get rid of the hindrances that may be causing roadblocks in your life. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Getting Rid of Hindrances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.